Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show. What's going on, guys? My name is Hussein, and I came out across this interesting article from Uber Engineering. Revolutionizing money movement at scale with strong data consistency. I like this article a lot. You know why? Because they don't talk about tools they use. They talk about the architecture. That means they talk about the first principle and it's a common vocabulary that every designer know. And that's what I love. They don't throw words like Kafka or Prometheus or Kubernetes or RabbitMQ or Celery or stuff like that. They actually show you their clean architecture that you can pick up and deploy yourself if you want to, because that's how engineering should supposed to look like. We don't care about what tools you use. We can pick our own or we can build our own tools as long as you tell us how your architecture is this. Plain good old diagram. That's it. So how about we jump into it, guys? So money and payment and orders and stuff like that, guys. How do we debit an account and credit another account? For the longest time, I have a little bit strong opinion about this. I am changing a little bit. It's just the old dinosaur in me, the old thinking of having a database, a transactional database, and has to be fully ACID. And if you want to debit an account, well, you start a transaction, you debit that account, and you credit the other account, the same transaction, and then you commit. Why? Because now we have atomicity. That's the ACID part, right? And we have isolation. So if someone else is doing the same thing, they will be isolated from our transaction, so they can't look at what we're doing. And we can essentially, based on whether you have optimistic concurrency control or pessimistic, you can fail or succeed based on if you don't reconcile. So we know how to do this in a single instance database. And I always pushed for this for simplicity reasons. And I know a lot of you guys are already working with microservices, and they introduced this concept of saga, where you break things into multiple sagas, like series, and you execute things into series. And as long as you execute things, you have different states, you manage the states, and you can reach the same consistency eventually by executing the whole sagas. Right? This has nothing to do with sagas, but it's very similar because, again, they don't discuss it. They don't care if they use microservices or not. That's the beauty of, I love people who write articles like this. It's very generic. It's if you pick this and went 30 years back into the past and presented this to a computer science professor, they will understand what you want, right? If you replace this with, I don't know, some Kafka and some Celery and some Apple and then peaches in the middle and a pineapple tool, I don't know, tools that are hip these days, then you're just basically hiding behind these tools. The real engineer understand how everything works. Yes, I claim that you have to understand every single component that you have in your system. Otherwise, you're working with a black box. Maybe you're fine with that. But personally, I like to understand everything. Within my own job description, obviously, right? It's like, and within my interests, let's say. You cannot understand everything, right? If you tell me how assembly works and how CPU architecture works, I don't know. Right, so it depends. Your task, your role, and to me, that's just people who should take a pride of that. That being out of the way, let's jump into this and see what Uber did differently. And you might come back and say, Hussein, this is not something new. People done this for years. Because I did not see it. This is the first time I see something like that. All right. So if you have something like that, let me know in the comment section below. And we can share knowledge and share experiences. So here's what they want to do. This is the motivation. The motivation is they have these, you know, what Uber is. People, guys, probably everyone knows. Uber is a drive sharing app. So, well, if you have trips, the concept of trips, and you pay a fee for a trip, and then there is, so that's one component of it. So the fee of the trip, and that can change. And there is another fee, which is the service fee. I don't know, so Uber's cut, evidently. There is tips, and there is adjustments, and there's so much stuff. So if you want to build a payment system that is so strongly guaranteed, you have to execute this statement in a single transaction, in a single database. But how do you do it if you are across the entire globe? You might have a system like FaunaDB where they guarantee strong rights across the globe. Postgres had the same concept, by the way, guys, not just Fauna, right? So you write to a primary database and you block that write until all the writes to every single instance in the whole world succeed. If one of them fail, you basically abort the transaction. You can do something like that to achieve not eventual consistency, because you don't want eventual consistency when it comes to money. That's just bad, right? I mean, as long as if you know you're consistent at every point and you have a state, you can manage that consistency. That's fine. But if you want a strong consistency, that's how you do it. Spanner works very similar, but they are way more complicated. They use atomic clocks so that they can execute parallel writes, and using the time, they can reconcile these writes. Because what are the transactions? If you can execute transaction and you can bring all the transaction and order by time, you won, right? The trick is nobody figured out how can they synchronize times across multiple zones. That's a very difficult problem to solve. Google figured out with this atomic clocks to a millisecond error, I believe. So that's essentially it. So people are trying to solve this problem differently. What Uber did says, okay, I'm not going to use a sophisticated system like Spanner or a very slow write system like FaunaDB, right? Because FaunaDB is a slow write. You have to understand. Once you understand what it does, you understand it's a slow write because it guarantees strong guarantees, right? I mean, you can change this. You can relax it a little bit. So, okay, if I write to my primary database and I only three writes to my secondary databases succeed, I can live with that. But what if someone else read at the same time that poor schlob database that didn't get the write? What happens when you get and made decisions based on that knowledge? That could be bad. So let's see what Uber did. Uber said, we're going to break this down into something called the job order-based system. Are we recording? Yes, we are. Job order-based system. So they created this concept of a job. And think of a job. I read this article, by the way, guys. I'm going to reference a bit. I'm not reading the article as I speak. I'm just explaining it because I rarely read it. It's a well-written article. I don't have any comments except a few. I'm going to mention them in a few seconds. But yeah, you can read it for yourself. So the job order concept, think of a job as a trip. Hey, I want to go from LA to Temecula, right? And in that job, there are many orders, potential orders. For now, we have one order, which is the actual payment that needs to happen, right? Which is, and within an order, there are entries, order entries. So the order of the payment of the trip consists of, Here's a nice table for the listener of the podcast. I'm going to read it out loud. The order consists of a trip fare, right? And this order entry literally contains a monetary value. So a trip fare of minus $18, for example, goes from which account? Obviously, it needs to go from the payer account, which is me, the rider, right? So that's minus 18. And then there is a service fee. That's another order entry in the same order, in the same job, okay? That service fee, minus 2, goes off also the payer account. You might say, Jose, why don't they just deduct minus 20? No, they want to track Uber's money versus the driver's money, right? So they want to segregate that thing, which is something pretty, once you think about it, these requirements are all driven from high above, right? So now, minus 18, minus 2. So minus 20 gone from my as the rider, right? So now there should be a compensating entries to kind of negate that. So you reach this accounting zero. I didn't pay any attention to my accounting 101. I failed all these courses. Almost failed. I got a B, I think. But I hated that ideas, right? So like, yeah, so minus 18, minus 20. So there must be a plus 20 somewhere, right? So now there is a third entry called trip fare, but it's plus 18 to whom? To the payee escrow, which is the payee account. So that's another order entry in the order object, which is in the job, which is the trip, right? So now, so that's 18 plus 80. And the final one is a service fee goes plus 2 to Uber escrow, which is the Uber account, right? So that's how they do things. Imagine doing this in a single transaction. I mean, you can do it, but what if it fails? You have to do retries? But the idea of having a retry is what? Is it synchronous? You don't want the imagine you want to do a payment now, right? And it's synchronous, right? When it's synchronous, you have to wait for it to succeed. Who knows? I'm debiting my paying and it failed. What if I want to retry? Do you sit down and wait in the driver's in the Uber car until it goes through? Oh, let me try again. Oh, it failed. Let me try again. Oh, it failed. No, that won't work, right? Because that's the centralized system. That's the synchronous centralized system. You have to apply. If it works from the first time, you're good. But if it failed, someone has to retry. Either it's the client, which is me, holding the phone, hitting apply again, hitting pay, or someone in the background that does the retrying. And that's another option you can go through. You can just submit a job and does this atomically, right, on the background. That's another solution. I don't see anything wrong with that. But they want a little bit different route, maybe for a good reason. Okay. So that's essentially the idea. So now Hussein says, like, isn't a job, that's the first question that I got, isn't a job always have one order? They don't mention this, unfortunately, in the article. But I thought about it and says, hey, what if I want to send a tip? A tip is something you pay after, right? So it's not really in the same order. So it's a different order. So I would imagine there will be one order for the trip, which consists of four entries. Trip fare minus 18, service fee minus 2. Trip fare plus 18, service fee plus 2, right? Then there is another order consists of two entries. Tip, I don't know, you paid like, let's say 10% or 15%. Let's say you paid $5 tip, right? So that's minus 5 of the payer plus 5 to who? To the payee, which is the driver, right? And maybe this is a completely different account. Who knows? So that's another order. So we have two orders in the same job, which is the trip, and each order have multiple order entries. This is a beautiful architecture. This is a beautiful design. I love it, right? Anybody can understand this. You take this, you go back 30, 40 years, and you explain it to this anyone can understand it, right? Because it's beautiful. It doesn't have a fluff. It doesn't have, they don't talk about Kafka. It doesn't talk about RabbitMQ, right? It's not ambiguous anymore, right? It's all on the table. That's real engineering right there. That's real engineering. You can talk about tools, but explain to me how things work agnostically of these tools. Love you, Uber. Love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, so that's how you do it. So, Hussein, we have jobs, we have order entry, who have ordered entrees. Who's going to execute this stuff? Look at this beautiful architecture. So you have weekly settlement scheduler, right? Something that, I don't know, a scheduler that just settle money that never been paid. Just submitted an order. Oh, there's someone. Oh, I forgot to pay this guy. I want to pay him a tip, but I already reached home. Simple. Go to your trip, pay tip. That will generate for the same job, the trip, a new order, which is to tip. Oh, I want to get a refund because I'm not satisfied of this. The Uber driver, I don't know. He was a little bit. He insulted me or something. I want a refund from Uber. Well, I don't know if they afford that. They give you this option. But hey, I want to submit a refund. A refund is a completely third order in the same job. And they can treat it simply, agnostically of everything else. So all of these orders, they give you like miscellaneous payment. I have no idea what miscellaneous payment means, really. Various jobs. Everything to them is just an order in a job. Right? That's the parent thing. Could be a trip, could be, I don't know, Uber Eats, something like that. But yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. And here's the thing. There is something called the order insertion service. What does it do? It inserts an order. And that's it. That's the only job for this service. Is it a microservice? Who cares about microservices? It's a beautiful design. You don't have to use microservices for everything. Right? That's just not blow everything out of proportion. I believe they are a microservices shop, Uber. I might be wrong, though. Okay, so you submit this order to the order insertion service, and then the order insertion service writes it to the database. That's it, and says, done, I'm right, I'm writing the order. Does it mean the order has been processed? Absolutely not. It's just guarantees that I have submitted your order, and asynchronously on the back end, we're going to execute it. So the act of submitting the order is synchronous, but the execution of the order, that act is asynchronous because, hey, someone's going to process the order. That's where the beautiful, beautiful, tremendous, tremendous message queue. We have a tremendous, beautiful message queue right here. And we're going to be very beautiful, beautiful message queue. So this is a messaging queue that is where the things goes to. These are the orders. So now there is a third piece where picks up the order, process the order, and then says, I'm done. Almost like a pub sub, if you think about it, right? It's more like, they don't explain this, but I believe the queue is being consumed by multiple ones, right? Here's an example. So there is the queue, order, writer, reader. There is a service that consumes the queue from the order. And there is another service that processes the queue and the order. And that also picks from the queue. That tells me that the order is being consumed by multiple consumers. Thus, it's a pub sub system, I think. Because that's a pub sub system, right? You have multiple subscribers subscribing, consuming a single system. And the same order can be consumed by multiple one. A queue is once you pop that order, it's gone. Now I still don't know what's going on here, so this is going to be interesting to understand how they are working with this. Is it a single thing? Once you pop the order, it's done? You bet you should not be able to execute the same order twice. That's just bad. So I believe it's just a queue. Maybe I'm wrong. Right? So that guarantees us that once it's popped, right, it should be gone from the queue. But when it comes to that, there's where they're going to talk about the high availability. They're going to talk about item potency, which is, I absolutely love this. All right. So, guys, let's talk about high availability. Services exchange order messages on lossless messaging queuing system clusters that are available in multiple regions. We have standby cross-region consumer instances in our deployment pools. If one region goes down, service instances in other regions can still consume and process order messages. So that tells me this messaging queue is a distributor, which is Kafka is, RabbitMQ is, ZeroMQ is, but if only if you write it, so it is, I think. But yeah, you can definitely design a message so it's distributed. So it can be consumed from multiple places. Our system persists the payment account and balance data in the storage system that multiple zone quorum. Okay, the quorum here emphasizes my point where if you write it to one place, it will be written to all other places. And if you consume it from one place, it better be consumed. That knowledge better be transferred to other places as well. Well, as long as, because I don't think you're going to execute, submit an order in Atlanta, for example, and consume it in Malaysia, right? That would be weird. So I think it's there's a region-based ordering system that they don't talk about here. And I understand it's a little bit complex to talk about all that stuff. Idempotency, and I talked about idempotency in my channel, guys, which is the idea of having to, if I submit the order something twice, it's going to be counted as one, right? I can, as much as possible, read or write, and it's not going to change the state on the backend. And how do they achieve this? Exactly how Kafka does it. This is basically uniquely identifying your request, because you need exactly once guarantee, and they guarantee that. Why do you need exactly once? Because if you process the order twice, you just lost twice the money. That's just bad, right? If there's money involved, you better have exactly once guarantee. If you're building a system that counts your Instagram likes, who cares if you process it twice, right? It's just you're going to get an extra like. It's going to be 1.8 million likes anyway. It's not like someone is counting the likes, right? So yeah, sometimes you can live with it, sometimes you don't. Yeah, so the money movement is based on order processing that atomically alter user payment account. Atomically, this is the key, atomically, right? Because you need atomicity here at that order entry level. And then I bet they have a state associated with the order that tells you if this order is processed, half processed, or completely processed. They don't mention this, but I believe they do, of course. Otherwise, how do you know if this order failed or order succeed, right? And the idempotency is guaranteed by every user, every job, every order entry has a unique identifier. So if you accidentally submitted the order twice, yeah, we're going to fail. We're going to say, hey, that's the second one, we're going to just ignore it, right? Because that's idempotency, not necessarily fail. Just we're not going to hurt the backend, right? Beautiful. That's how they do this thing. Data consistency between asynchronous platforms. So here they go about migrating from their old system to the new system, which is absolutely painful. It took them 2 years to do this stuff. Imagine that you have two systems and you have to guarantee that you write to this system and you also write to this system. Both systems should stay up and running. And any write you do write to this, you have to write it back to the other one. And they explain this here. They use the idea of versioning so they can identify where this call came from. Did it came from this system or this system? And based on that, they can track where every order is, and they guarantee consistency. That's very, very, very critical. So they talk about all that stuff. They have obviously dashboards and metrics. That's what I'm interested in. The rest of the stuff I'm not really interested in, so I didn't read through. I'm not gonna explain all these details, but they talk about validation and retries. This is important. Every 24 hours, they execute these asynchronous jobs, and it goes and see, okay, are there any orders that didn't be fulfilled? Let's pick up the order, re-execute it again, make sure everything actually succeeds. Once it succeeds, we're going to complete the rest of the stuff, right? Saga with microservices, if one of these pieces, operations failed, they give you the ability to roll back in Saga, where you can just do a compensating operations to roll back the stuff. I don't believe that's what they do. They do a retry. So that means, let's say you debited the payment account successfully, but you failed to accredit the payee account. Is that right? Payment. Yeah. So you fail to credit the other account. You've debited the account minus $100, but you fail to credit the other account. What do? You roll back? You can't just take the money back. That's just weird, right? Just tell the money, hey, you guys, hey, Bank of America, we just paid, actually took the money, but we want to put it back now. That's just, that will be weird. No system supports this, right? Especially when dealing with multiple accounts, right? If you own everything, you can do it probably in a single database, right? But you don't own everything, right? These are external systems. So you have to work with them. So once that account has been debited, the account to credit fail, you have to start saving the state that, okay, I'm half done. I don't know. And then you retry the credit again, right? And that's where the asynchronous system does. I think that's what they are doing, right? So yeah, they learned a lot of lessons, obviously, especially through the migration from old to the new system. I do not envy them. This is going to be painful. Obviously, this is painful. The project took 2 years, cross-team effort, 40 engineers, product managers, all of that stuff. I would not be surprised. This is a big, big, big project, right? So that sucks that no comments. This is a great article, right? And one of the best of the articles that I'm going to cover, hopefully, is this. Why Uber engineering switched from Postgres to MySQL. I talked about it many, many times on the channel, but I didn't actually cover that. It's a 2016 news, but it's a great, great use case to discuss, right? Doesn't mean they're right moving from Postgres to MySQL. It's just fun to discuss. All right, guys, that's it for me today. I hope you enjoyed this discussion of the software news. Subscribe if you want. Back-end engineering news, back-end engineering discussion. That's what I discuss in this channel. I cover database engineering. I cover proxies, reverse proxies, data consistencies like this, systems, back-end systems. That's my specialty. I talk about this. And if you have another article that you want me to cover, send it my way. This is my Twitter handle right here. Please send it my way. I'd love to cover these interesting articles. I'm going to see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Make sure to subscribe, like this video. Guys, see you in the next one. Goodbye.